We want to turn now to the parenting aspect of this discussion. You heard Dan Savage say that a number of parents are viewing these videos with their kids to open up dialogue that perhaps hadn't been there before. But many moms and dads believe perhaps that college is a time to step back and let their children find their own way. But as we talked about, the recent death of Rutgers freshman Tyler Clementi demonstrates those first months of home can also be difficult for young people. So we wanted to talk to a mom who's written a lot about just the adolescent mind and how young people are in formation. And her name is Jennifer Marshall Lippincott. She's the co-author of the book, Seven Things Your Teenager Won't Tell You and How to Get Them to Talk. And she's with us now in our Washington, D.C. studio. And, you know, Jennifer, I can see that actually this is actually kind of an emotional conversation for you, as it is, I think, for a lot of parents when you think about what a lot of these young people are going through, I think. And I wanted to ask, what were your first thoughts when you heard about this recent death that we were talking about, particularly Tyler Clementi?
Well, Michelle, it's always devastating to hear about a horrific tragedy like this. And of course, my mind first went to my adolescents who are now both in college, and as well as many of the gay and lesbian and bisexual kids I have known over the years and have experienced some of these experiences. So, of course, the first thing I did was to call my daughters and you know, and just make sure that they knew about this and that they were starting the conversation that needs to take place among kids in colleges, in high schools, and younger about what is going on here and how it needs to be talked about.
I wanted to ask, there are two sides of this conversation. One side of the conversation are the victims, the targets, you know, of bullying. But the other side of the conversation are the freshman, the roommate, and his friend who turned their webcam on and were, you know, teasing this young man about this encounter. And I think a lot of adults are just horrified by this. They think, what would make you think that that was okay? And since you've done a lot of writing about this whole question of what would make somebody think that's okay, I'm not excusing it, but I did want to ask, what are your insights into this?
It's a great question, and I think it is the question, really, because if you think about it, these kids are coming to college, they're trying to get used to a new person. That person, whether it's their sexuality or any other things, there are going to be things about that person that bug you. They could be a mess. They could be a jerk. They could be rude. Any number of things. And the key is, how do you deal with it? How do these kids learn how to talk about what is on their minds? And the feelings are normal. Feeling irritated and annoyed are normal. It's the impulse to want to do something vindictive about it that needs to be what the conversation's about, because with the web at our disposal, it is one click of a button. And adolescents don't have control over that tendency to be impulsive.
What conversations would you hope parents are having with their kids as they – now, kids are already in school for this semester – that they should be having with their kids now about this?
Well, I think it's not just parents to their kids, but it's also kids among kids. And I think it needs to be a school-sponsored conversation when we're talking about kids in college. But the conversation between parents and kids, Michelle, needs to start much, much younger. It needs to start with a sense of the parents understanding that their kids are different than they are, that there are things about their kids that they don't have control over. They could be tall, they could be short, they could be thin. Their orientation and who they're attracted to could be different. So the conversation with parents needs to reflect an awareness that by age 8, they are aware of the role that sexuality plays in our society, that they are bombarded with 400 images per day that have a sexual connotation. And so parents need to start talking about, normalizing differences and convey an acceptance for what's different.
And let's take the other side of it, of course, picking up on Dan Savage's conversation. He talked about the fact that some kids are facing hostility, you know, just about everywhere, you know, for their sexual orientation. But one of the things that struck me about the recent spate of deaths of young people is that some of these kids had very supportive families.
Right.
And they still weren't talking to them about what was happening to them at school. And I think a lot of people are troubled by that as well. I mean, yes, it is true. You can understand that some kids, you know, their parents have a particular worldview about, and they feel that they would not be accepted. But some of these parents did not have hostile attitudes toward you know, their children's lives and understanding of themselves. So how can you open up conversations about that when if there might be something going on? What do you recommend?
Well, you know, one of our jobs as parents is to be hyper aware of the emotional state of our kids, and to be sort of attuned, and to be able to pick up on any number of little innuendo and themes. So if your child seems troubled, or if you get a phone call from college and they seem a little down, you know, our job is to sort of ask those probing questions in a non-invasive way. You know, how are you doing? What's, you know, anything happening that is, you know, troubling you or making you feel, you know, a little bit uncomfortable? What we're probing for are the cues that that they may be giving off, and then we can, you know, sort of continue the conversation down that road. So one great conversation starter about this issue is, what do you think about the Tyler Clementi situation? Then you take that opportunity to convey how you feel. Because they want to know how you feel, and they are listening to how you feel.
One of the points that I take from your book is that these conversations should start early. It should become kind of normal to have these conversations. But let's say they didn't. Let's say you weren't raised that way. It didn't occur to you to have those kinds of conversations when your child was young, and now your child is a young adult or sort of a late teen, and you've seen this, and you think, you know what, I really need to open up this dialogue. And we also know that as kids get older, they want a zone of privacy. You know, when they get to be teens and certainly young adults, they want a zone of privacy. How would you recommend opening that door when perhaps it wasn't open before, but you recognize you want to open it now?
Right. And that's a great point, too. It's never too late to parent. And I'd say that to parents all the time. So if they feel like you are open to them, in other words, and a lot of that can be conveyed through your language. And so if you're not afraid to, you know, sort of use words like oral sex or, you know, gay, LGBT, and they understand that you understand, and you kind of work those that language into your conversation, then they are going to be more open to, you know, to talking to you about it. So I come back to the word, Michelle, normalize. I think it's our job as parents to normalize, you know, all sorts of behaviors. And secondly, to convey to them that we love them for who they are, and that is absolutely unconditional.
And final question, Jennifer, and it's a tough one for, I think, many parents, but there are parents for whom they just don't agree with, homosexuality. They just don't feel it's acceptable. Many people do, but many people don't. But they still love their children, right, and they want to have a conversation with their children. I would assume that there is no parent who wants his child to suffer or certainly to harm himself or herself. But what if you're a parent who just says, look, I have a particular worldview, religious view. I still love my child. What do you say?
Well, the bottom line is that you love your child, and that's what we have in common. You know, we all love our children. We all want our children to stay safe, to be respected, and to be in touch with us. We want that connection. And so what that parent needs to do is convey, you know, I may not agree with everything that's happening here, but bottom line, I love you, I respect you, and I want to stay connected to you.
Wait, where do you think the story goes from here? What else can we say? I mean, my heart goes out to this family,
right,
and all of the families involved. I just feel like I should have started there. But
do you
think it's going to get better? I mean, do you think 5 years from now we'll still be having this conversation?
I think if we have the conversation, we get the conversation out in the open, and we normalize the conversation, and we normalize the fact that everybody needs to be talking about this, I think there is hope that it will get better, Michelle.
Jennifer Marshall-Lippincott is the co-author of the book, Seven Things Your Teenager Won't Tell You. She joined us in our studio here in Washington, D.C. Thank you so much for joining us.
You're welcome.
And that's our program for today. I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Let's talk more tomorrow.